as alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, 1 John, 2 John. By the time I get through the book, I'll quit saying that. 2 John, verse 4. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a part of the phenomenal grace of God that is given to believers to recover rapidly from any type of STA, sin nature, activity, anytime, any place. But the believer must do his part, her part, and that is to confess your sin, and this will get you back in fellowship. You don't have to go through any kind of other hoops, nothing that is required that people go through in various religions and all the rest of it. Rebound gets you from being under the rule of the flesh and gets you back under the rule of God the Holy Spirit so that you and I can progress through this Bible class and benefit from it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank You that our faith in Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Be with us now as we consider the information before us this evening to the edification and encouragement of positive volition. In Christ's name, amen. All right, the third verse is the greeting after introducing the author anonymously, and the recipient anonymously, or recipients. And in verse 3, we have the standard, pretty standard, Christian greeting that is found in the New Testament. This is the greeting in this form, or something close to it. This is the greeting that Christians used in correspondence with each other. I believe, obviously, in the letters of Paul, we see it. The trinity of terms here, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. Rather than a wish, he can bring it down to this will be with us, not with you exclusively, but with us, both the writer and the recipient or recipients. These things will be with us. This is because he is completely comfortable with and confident in the quality of the positive volition of the person that he writes to. So it's an indicative. It'll be with us. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. We are where we are spiritually, and if you are, then of course you will experience these things in your life. Now, grace and mercy are, you know, siblings. What's the difference between the two? Grace is, of course, the watchword of the plan of God for humanity. Operation Grace. God has provided and found a way to provide in His grace. He doesn't do this reluctantly. He does it. He has done it without any reluctance at all, considering what we are as members of the human race, born under sin, born and carry on as we have. He has provided in grace salvation. And now rebound for the believer to restore and reestablish fellowship in a flesh. This is very important to understand, that this is how the Christian life, this is spirituality by grace, not spirituality by anything else. We will fail. We will sin daily. And we need rebound, just as daily we need to keep ourselves clean, wash our hands, and so forth. So the propensity to sin is there. Obviously, the plan, ideally, is to sidestep these opportunities to sin, but we won't. We will fall. We will fail. We will stumble. We'll say something inappropriate. We'll think that which is STA-driven and even do overt things. We have rebound. It's always been available. We call it rebound so that you can have one term that will cover the entire concept. It is taught throughout the Bible, and it is for all sin. He didn't say some sins. All sins are forgivable upon confession, instantly and absolutely. Jesus Christ paid a price for that sin, and you have been given a way to get yourself back in fellowship and in this dispensation filled with the Spirit. So you can walk by the Spirit, whatever you're doing, whatever you're engaged in, if it is legitimate. Because we have sins that are sins of omission. You should have done that, but you didn't. Should have made that application, but you didn't. And sins of commission. Lists of sins in the Bible that believers are subject to. That's why it is important as a Christian that you judge yourself. Evaluate your mental attitude at all times. Is it appropriate? We will catch ourselves. No, that's not. So what do? I confess that. And you're forgiven. And I can show you places in the Bible where believers committed big time sins. Big. By any estimation. And when they confessed it, they were forgiven. Think of Israel in the Old Testament. When they turned to God away from all of this mess that they were involved in with idolatry and all of its corrupt practices. All they had to do was turn to God, repent of this, and confess their sins. They even had an offering under the law specifically for that. The trespass offering. For believers. So we have that grace. It's with us every day. We need to exploit it. Not sinning, I mean. Not sin just for the purpose. Well, I don't know sometimes if I'm in fellowship. So I'll just commit a sin and then rebound. I never advised that. You probably thought that before. But the thing is, even, you know, it's like I said, it's like throwing on a light switch. If you throw it on and it's already on, well, it's already on. No harm's done. God knows your heart, and you are striving to be in fellowship while you are doing whatever you are doing. Whatever it is. Whether it's pleasant, whether it's your everyday work, basic things that people do, you can do it in fellowship. And mercy comes into the picture because it, for me, it heightens the concept of grace that we receive from God, mercy, when we are guilty. And He acknowledges, all He asks, obviously when you confess a sin, you're acknowledging that it was a sin, and now you're back in fellowship. Maybe next time you can do better. Maybe you can avoid that, falling into that trap. So mercy heightens the thing. So grace is the watchword of the Christian way of life in point 55, since we are prone to STA activity. STA means sinful trend of Adam, or old sin nature. Grace comes to these positive believers in the form of eternal security. That's with us all the time. Having confidence in that is another matter, but it's with us. A salvation that is perfect, cannot be overturned. God providing for us in all kinds of circumstances our living grace needs. Some of us have been tested with our living grace, but we still got it. That's why I think that, and when I stopped last time, we were talking about the multiplication of these factors. Grace is there for all believers. Well, it's there for everybody, but they got to believe. And then for believers, it's there. God even provided living grace for those awful Israelites of the first generation. He provided living grace for them. They never could say that we ran out of water totally, that we were starving to death. We might have got hungry. We might have been looking around wondering where our next glass of water was coming from. But it was always provided. He provided for them living grace all through, that's one thing, all through the wilderness journey, they never lacked for anything they needed physically. And they were not a nice bunch of believers. They were despicable. There's no other way around it. Well, all the things they might have done that were good does not offset their continually complaining and flunking tests. That's another way we sin. We flunk tests. I do it too from time to time. Little ones sometimes. Wake up. Do this right. So I judge myself. You didn't handle that well. But I don't spend a bunch of time worrying about it. I just roll forward. Is it worthless to spend a bunch of time concerned with that? All right, you stubbed your toe. Now you can walk straight. Get mad at something. Get frustrated. Complain about something. People are prone to this. The Exodus generation got their living grace. It even says, you didn't even have to look around for footwear. That was a big living grace item because they walked a lot on that kind of terrain. They always had adequate footwear. Never were, and they weren't walking around in rags. They had restrictions imposed on them because of their antics. They could not enjoy the wealth they brought out of Egypt, as in the case of jewelry. They got banned from enjoying that because they used it to make that golden calf. So that was just locked down. And their kids wound up with it. That material wealth, gold, silver, and so forth, that was used in the tabernacle, that was donated. And they did donate liberally to that cause. So much so Moses had to tell them, enough is enough. Don't bring any more. Again, an emphasis on how God graced them out in Egypt when they had that history where they could not acquire those kinds of things due to their oppression. They got a big payday. They got a big payday. That was grace dumped on them. And they plundered the Egyptians nonviolently and walked away with all of that. The multiplication of grace, though, eluded them. They killed certain things that could have been theirs. And we'll get to peace. They didn't have peace, for the most part. They were upset, complaining, at every test. And it's just a logical thing. We're preparing you for some wonderful SG2, great blessings in time, and that was going to be theirs had they, I think, at least passed that 10th test. This was a real liberal grading curve for them. Flunked 9 tests. Not good. But the last one was a coup de grace. And you're not going to enter the land. You'll all die in the desert, in the wilderness. And they did. And they could have had what? In their lifetime, had they applied doctrine, they didn't have to be perfect. They could even, like I said, we flunked a test. Let's learn from that. Next time something comes around, none of these antics. And talk to each other about it. We're going to rally around and we're going to glorify God. He is great. He's defeated our number one enemy. And He is providing for us miraculously. No other people have been provided on this scale. No. They blew it. That generation is anathema, and it is brought into the New Testament in two places to warn believers to do not act like these people. When did you get off thinking that everything, all the time, has to go your way? It isn't going to. You just adjust to the circumstances you're under at any given moment in your life, and you'll be fine. You'll be okay. So in their lifetime, they had homes in Egypt. Okay. The environment sucked. Oppression. They had tents in the wilderness. They had a covering over them, food out of the sky, water out of a rock, so forth and so on. But God was going to give them the land, and they were going to dispossess X number of the indigenous people and take over their vineyards and homes and properties legitimately. Because these nations had forfeited their right under their evil. The iniquity of the Amorite reached its peak. That's what they missed out on. And that's what believers miss out on. God has blessings in time that will pursue and overtake you if you will do His will and make the necessary sacrifices in your Christian life. I'm not saying what it's going to be for you. God has it tailor-made for every believer to reward them in time for their due diligence under Bible doctrine. And some of you can testify to that very fact. Maybe you don't have everything you might think you want. I tell you to just leave that with the Lord, pray about it, and roll on. Gap multiplies the grace factor as well as the peace factor. As we noted in 2 Peter 1:2, may peace be multiplied to you. And this was very important. This is the multiplication. Why do believers miss out on it? Because they're not under the kind of teaching that would make this possible. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. That's a wish. And how is this? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. As you learn doctrine, grace is multiplied. Take a believer who is under gap, has been consistent and faithful to Bible doctrine. They get themselves in a situation, whether it's of their own doing or not, they get a higher grace factor. It's a higher grace factor for them. The mercy factor and the grace factor is increased. And if you continue to be disobedient, then you blunt that. If you are obedient, even under duress, everybody's not going to treat you right all the time. Every authority isn't going to teach you perfectly right. But you acclimate to the situation and you have the multiplication of grace. What does he mean by grace and peace be multiplied? It's bigger and bigger and bigger as you move forward under Bible doctrine and pass tests and continue to be faithful and loyal to God and His plan, even if you are not always dealt with properly. God sees it. God takes care of you. And we have seen the kinds of ways God blesses believers in time from our study of the believers in the Bible, who took Bible doctrine and the will of God seriously. You don't have to go out and do anything special. Just live in your niche. day in, day out, and do what you're supposed to do. And of course, I always fall back on an easy one. You could pick some other believer in the Bible. But I always like to pick Joseph, because he was brought so low. Most people I have known, they would have cracked so fast under that, it wouldn't have been funny. He didn't have family support. He didn't have support from other believers. He's thrown into big, bad, worldly Egypt, where slaves had their own ways of trying to manipulate things to make it better for them. He didn't do that. He did his job as unto the Lord. And every time, he'd get promoted. Then he'd get demoted. Then he'd get promoted. And he'd get demoted. Well, he was a young guy. But I've known young guys that they will not endure very much setbacks. He was set back. You've got to expect, that's the test of your faith. Or what are you going to do now when you have a setback? And to be treated like he was by his brothers, he didn't get any real support from his father, and he gets into Egypt. He's at the mercy of the system, but the system is overseen by God. God was watching out for him. This young man who was an upper teen when this happened to him. And that was during those years that he was in Egypt before he was elevated to that high position that he never forfeited. It was all dropped on him. And don't say to me, well, that's just a Bible story. What's a Bible story? It's the principle of how God deals with people who are faithful to him and his plan at that level, under those situations. He didn't try to figure out ways. And he was no doubt a talented and he was a good-looking young guy. He did not use these things to advance himself. And so he's promoted over all the slaves in this man's estate. But it wasn't just any estate. It was the one God wanted him in. And doing a job day in and day out. And he finally got promoted up to the top, and he was the overseer of all of the slaves and their duties on that estate. And then when everything was going good, the owner's wife tried to seduce him. And he resisted that temptation. He wasn't one of these people, take advantage to whatever's in front of you. He would not do that. And she screamed rape, and he got thrown in prison. But it was the right prison. It was the prison for political prisoners. Perfect. It was on the estate. Perfect. He's right where God wants him to be. So that when that all blew up, because Potiphar took the wrong side of the attempt to overthrow the Pharaoh, he was protected in that prison. And he was promoted in the prison. You would say, well, that isn't very glamorous. That's not the point. The point is, he was promoted. Had a position of responsibility. And he spent 3 years in there. Imagine that, 3. But he clung to the prophetic doctrine that had been revealed to him back in the land. Those 2 dreams. God didn't talk to him during this time. God didn't say, attaboy, hang in there. He didn't have any special dreams saying it's all going to work out. It's called faith rest under duress. Faith rest to the maximum. God's got it. Oh, there was a little point where he wavered a little bit. Little energy of the flesh stuff. because two people got thrown in prison with him. The chief pastry maker for the Pharaoh and the wine steward. Because this Pharaoh, once he overcame this attempt to overthrow him, he had to figure out who's on what side. The dummy Potiphar was on the wrong side. So, they're both in prison until they figure out what's happened. And then they come and say, each of us had a dream. Can you tell us what it means? And he had to report bad news to one and good news to the other. He had to do his job. He could say, I feel sorry for this dude. I can't tell him he's going to die. And he told the wine steward, when you get out of here and you get back in your position officially, would you put in a good word for me? He didn't need to do that. But, you know, we'll cut him that, okay? He didn't need to do that. And so when he was able to, when Pharaoh had his big dream that scared the daylights out of him, seven lean years and seven fat years with seven fat cows and seven skinny, you know, the kind where you can see their bones through their skin. And he knew that had some importance. It was a big deal. And he couldn't get any of his people that were into that sort of thing to tell him what it meant. So then the steward says, hey, I meant this guy in prison, by the way. See, people are always trying to name drop if they think they can get an advantage. And maybe the guy was sincere. Maybe he's just trying to help out his boss, which would be fine. I knew a guy, and he told him the story about the dreams and how they came to truth, just like this man said. You can go back and read the details. Get him in here. Get him in here. I like a leader like that because he's looking out for what's best. He doesn't have this pride. He's one of those Asiatics. He wasn't into some racial thing like that, and got him in there and dressed Joseph up, and Joseph told him what it was, and the rest is history. You're faithful to God. God will promote you. You do not need to pull strings. God will take care of things. That's very important. Grace is multiplied. Grace is multiplied to the positive believer in time. But we have to go through some hard things too. We have to go through some difficult things. And of course, here we are at the end of the dispensation. Just max out with doctrine to the end, and whatever is thrown at you between now and liftoff, okay. We don't know corporately or individually what any of us are going to face. We can't anticipate that. But even if it was severe persecution, even if it came down to that, in this country there are places, you know, with all this COVID thing, there's places where you can't make this up. They don't want people going to church. They don't want them praying or whatever it is. If you looked into some of this, it's like, what? There is persecution of Christians around the world. It's the last days. But God will multiply grace for you in the midst of that if you are put in that bracket. The Lord will not forsake you. He will sustain you internally in every way, even in an extreme case of persecution. And you will have a relaxed mental attitude. And you'll be in fellowship. And you will know that this is the path God has you to go down to make you crown worthy. If it comes to that. I don't know. Because things are beginning to and will continue in this country and world to happen fast and furious. I suspect. There's a lot of turmoil in this country. A lot of factors are involved. And there are those that want to make a lot out and take these peaceful protests and turn them into a violent attack on people and their property. They've been out there. They're organized. They're funded. They're brought in on buses. Where's the authorities? I'd stop every one of those buses. I'd stop them dead in the street. I'd pull all those people out of there and have weapons on them. They'd all be incarcerated. How hard's that? Yes, there are riots where people are just opportunistic people who think, oh, now it's my opportunity to loot the Apple store. Or whatever. Yeah, there's those kind. And then there's people who have a legitimate grievance that are peaceful. But these others are even worse. They're revolutionaries. That's why there's been this push by certain states and people to take away everybody's guns. They want to disarm us. So we're easy picking. These are the things that are going down in America as places and cities are on fire. The president has to temporarily run to a bunker. Smoke all around D.C. People defiling national monuments. These are the kind of things that are going down. But we'll be okay. We can have peace about all this. Inner peace. Don't let it upset you. Know that God's got it all. He's using it. He's working it. He's advancing it. Things may not look good at certain times. So GAP multiplies the grace and peace factor in those who are obedient, who are hearing and learning Bible doctrine. Mercy is closely related to grace, but it accentuates the grace factor by emphasizing how great God's grace is towards us who are so undeserving. Salvation itself is great mercy. Great mercy is provided. Absolute forgiveness of sins based on faith in Christ and the acquisition of eternal life and the promise of a future hope, all in that package called salvation. That's great mercy, considering where the sinner is in the situation. It's great mercy. So, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And a part of that mercy is the chance to obtain this eternal inheritance factor, which I've emphasized so much and so often. SG3 is a very big deal. Because I can't describe it like I can describe material and physical and experiences people have on earth with money and things. Because I can't describe it, we by faith realize that it is superior, way superior to anything we can imagine that we've ever laid our eyes on. So be encouraged every day of your life to at least lay up some SG3 in heaven. That's my call to you. And work your way towards getting that crown. And if you have any other attitude, drop it. Any other bad attitude towards other believers, get over it. It's not helpful. I have seen in the Bible believers who ruin themselves because of one mental attitude sin. I feel bad for her too. Rachel. This insane jealousy because she didn't have as many baby boys as her sister. You say, well, that's just nuts. Yes, everything about the STA is nuts. Everything about it's insanity. And she clung to this. Oh, maybe she rebounded once in a while, but did it do her any good ultimately? No, she dies giving birth. This poetic justice. She dies giving birth to Benjamin. She never got to see him grow up. And what's more, she never got to see Joseph in his glory. That would have been a big encouragement and a blessing to that mother. But no, we are complaining and maladjusted. And rather than just saying, if I have less children than the woman, doesn't mean I'm less blessed, doesn't mean anything of the kind. I'm here to serve God, and if He just wants me to have two baby boys and then my maid have whatever, that's fine. We're good with that. Being Jacob's favorite, that didn't soothe her. Sometimes there's things people want, and it's not for you. You just have to let it go. It's not in the plan for you. Or you might lose something that you hold dear. Then let it go. Let it slide by. We don't all have it the same. We're dealing with people. We're dealing with volition. It is multiplied towards those who remain faithful to the plan of grace, sound doctrine, and all the rest of it, for which most people are not Christians, I'm speaking of. Of course, unbelievers aren't. But Christians, they're not interested in sound doctrine. They will not endure it. Not for very long. They'll come here, nod their head a couple times, and maybe come twice, three, four times. Boom, they're gone. They don't have that drive. As one woman in the church says who's no longer here, Jack, just teach me that Bible. Okay, I will. And she was sincere. I just want to know that Bible. And then when I dropped the biblical cosmology on her, she wasn't ready for it. And it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. I have to do what I have to do. I don't go ask your permission. Do you think I can teach that now? I never did that. And you have to faith rest what I do and how I handle my job. You could, if you took all this doctrine I've given you over the years and applied it high level, you just flourish like that. And some of you are doing well. I'm not putting you down. But you have it. Well, I want to hear this book taught. And I want this. Okay, fine. Pray about it. And then leave it with God. So Paul laid down the corrective called the book of Galatians. And he ends it with saying, and those who will walk by this rule, because some of them might not, peace and mercy be upon them, upon the Israel of God. I want to see what I got here, why I put this one in. I forgot. Hebrews 4:16. Did I read that? I can't remember. I don't remember everything like I used to. Well, that's a prayer deal. You have something you need. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. And it's right up above us, by the way. And you can draw near, even though you're distant from it. You draw near through prayer. Get yourself in fellowship. You have something that is very important to you, so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And 2 Timothy 1:16-18. Now to the King, Christ, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, to be honor and glory forever, ever. Amen. This command I trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance to the prophecies previously made concerning to you, that you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Believers that have failed. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan, so they will be taught not to blaspheme. They must have really went way off the deal. In the Bible, those who show mercy will receive mercy. Those who do not show mercy will not receive mercy. You need to extend mercy towards people wherever it is appropriate. Paul was a candidate for mercy based on his pre-salvation crimes. Look how much mercy this man received. You might save the guy, But you wouldn't make him this super apostle and grant him that after what he had done. Here's how he describes himself to Timothy. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, big time, and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. But he did what he did, and he was given mercy. Anytime you are delivered by God, it is an act of mercy. A sickness, of this or that, it's an act of mercy. And you don't have to grovel. You just have to know that it's an act of mercy. The current dispensation is an act of mercy towards the Gentiles, 11:30. Considering that they had for centuries run amok in all of their idolatry and everything to turn to the Gentiles and incorporate them into the church and make them a part of this, when they were on the outside looking in and disobedient and carrying on in all their nations, and now all the nations, the peoples of the nations, are open to the plan of God now. So think of that in those terms as well. 11:30. For just as, and he's writing to the Roman Christians, which are illustrative of this. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience. Who's their disobedience? The Jewish rebellion, Jewish reversionism, and the fact that Israel was set aside temporarily because they dropped the ball badly and would not turn, and that, of course, rejection of their Messiah. And they're doing that to this day, with some wonderful exceptions, but the fact is, we're still in the church age. Paul has all this theology going on. For God has shut up all in disobedience. Pre-salvation status quo. State of disobedience. So that he may show mercy to all. Job wasn't perfect under his testing, but was shown mercy as he was wonderfully reestablished. James 5:11. Now he passed the test that God had between him and Satan. He passed that test. He didn't curse God. He didn't renounce God, like Satan said he would if XYZ happened to him. James 5:11. We count those blessed who endured. Job could have went along with his wife, cursed God and die. She was an agent of Satan. Satan said exactly, you do that to him and he will curse you. So the contest went on. Totally unbeknownst to Job. He's the pawn in it. God knew he could handle it. You've heard of the endurance of Job and seen the outcome of the Lord's dealing. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Job got his nose out of sync with God during this test. But he didn't curse him and he didn't deny him. He just fought with this idea of the justice of God and all these, something we could all fall into. Why is God letting so many of these evil people prosper and run amok out there? Well, there's Psalms that deal with that. The psalmist said, I almost got myself in spiritual trouble over this. Get your eyes off of these people. I don't care their wealth. I don't care their, all of it. It's passing away. It's about to end. So this celebrity goes to a party with a $30 million diamond around her neck. Big deal. What's that going to do for her? Nothing. I see that they're all over out here. They're sitting ducks. They're not ready. At some level, they're not ready for this. But there's still mercy for these people, and they still have a chance. We still witness to them, and after the rapture, they will have another chance. It won't be any fun, like you know. It won't be nearly as relaxed as our history. as tumultuous as it might be at some times in our church history, isn't going to be anything close to that. Their lives, that new normal will not even be able to be imagined. But you know what? If someone is committed to God and the truth at that time, they can, even if they die in the trib, they'll die in a positive way. God will provide for them. Just call on the Lord. People enter any of these things. Christ is a merciful high priest. Hebrews 2:17. He is some strict, oh, how could you do that? Do that one more time. It's not that way. It didn't work that way. Peace protects us from fear and is the fruit of the Spirit. And inner peace, as noted, is multiplied via gap. This peace Jesus left with his disciples. It doesn't mean they always had it in them and they got all upset and everything. But I give you peace, not as the world gives you. The world has a certain type of peace that everything's going well in my life and life is good. I saw a bumper sticker, life is good. It's comical. Life is good. You dummy. You don't even realize the threat you're under. Because life is temporarily good. You start pulling some of these things out and you'll wish that sticker will mock you. And I'm sure for the fellow he feels like it is. He's got him a fancy Jeep and life is good. Really. God shows me these things from time to time. It's bemusing. The source of these three blessings is from God the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ. Can't beat that for source. God's got what you need. You need something, you go out there and ask Him for it. Whatever you're up against. And wait on the Lord, let Him bring it to pass. These blessings are for those who live in the sphere of truth and love. The two are important. Because you could have one, like truth, but you don't walk in love. The agape principle. That kind of undermines it. The whole idea. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us and encourage us as we move on in these last days. In Christ's name, amen.